The Ensemble podcast is intended for professional financial advisors. All discussion is limited to publicly available information and should not be interpreted as legal, professional, or financial advice. Ensemble does not hold an AFS license nor provide any financial services. Before making investment decisions, you should obtain financial advice from a qualified financial advisor.
Hi, it's Neil Rogan here from Russell, and today I'm joined by Alex Cousley, a portfolio manager here at Russell. And what we're here today to talk about is really the economic outlook for 2026. Alex, I mean, it's been a little bit of a turbulent year in 25. As we look towards 26, really the three things on my mind, and there may be others we may want to talk about, but firstly, interest rates have been a topic throughout 2025. What's the outlook for interest rates in Australia in 2026?
It's a really good question, Neil. So the market has been repricing expectations for the RBA. So if you go back to September, the market thought we would see another rate cut by the middle of 2026. As we sit here today, we are seeing two rate hikes from the RBA, and that's on the back of a couple of higher than expected inflation prints. Now, we think that actually the market is probably overreacting to those inflation prints. There is a couple of noisy factors in inflation right now. One of them is that the electricity rebates have been dropping off, so you get this big surge back in electricity. The second is there's water charges that have been increased, so annual kind of policy-driven changes in prices. When we look at the labor market and wages, we're not really seeing a reacceleration. So we can't rule out one rate hike through 2026, but I think we're probably more likely to see the RBA stay on hold for a fairly prolonged period of time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so interest rates on hold. What about America?
Yeah, America. So I think the first thing to note is on interest rates, we think they're probably towards the end of their rate cutting cycle. So they've gotten rates back down, they cut rates in their December meeting. They're getting within where we think neutral rates are. And so maybe they get one more rate cut through next year, but they're probably really close to finishing. More broadly, our global market outlook for the US economy, we've titled the inflection point, because there is a number of interesting dichotomies right now where the labor market looks quite soft, but consumer spending is strong, AI capex is really strong. And we think that this probably resolves in a positive direction next year. So we actually are looking for above trend growth, which is a pretty healthy environment. And I think the big watch point is going to be, does all this AI capital expenditure start to see revenue? Do we see tech companies making money from all of this investment? And does it flow through to productivity? Because if it flows through to productivity, that means we can have this really strong growth without increasing interest rates.
Okay. So America potentially continuing to grow. And then what about China?
China. So we think China probably going to see another similar year of, call it, below trend growth. So it's not bad enough that the authorities are rushing and putting stimulus to work. It's not good enough that the labor market is tightening and spare capacity is being absorbed. And so it's probably like a 4.5% GDP environment. What we do expect is that the Chinese equity market should be fairly decent, because there is a structural trend towards Chinese companies becoming more shareholder friendly. We've seen that in Korea. We've seen that in Japan. That's a pretty good thing for shareholders. And so despite that sub-trend growth, Chinese equities and emerging markets equities probably do quite well, especially if we get further declines in the US dollar through 2026.
And then finally, a lot of Australians are heading off either to North America or to Japan over the holidays. Australian dollar?
Yeah, so I think we still see a little bit of upside to the Australian dollar, not against every currency cross, but I think 70 cents against the US dollar is still about the right level to be thinking about. And if we are right that the economy globally has a bit of a pickup next year, that should be quite good for the Australian dollar. It's a very cyclical currency. Japan, I mean, I'm going to Japan in March, so hoping for a bit of strength there. But the one thing to note is that the Japanese yen is extremely cheap. And so it's possible, not base case, that you see a bit of strength in the Japanese yen, and kind of Aussie kind of sits flat against that. But yeah, certainly against the US dollar, we expect a bit more upside.
So as as anyone listening to this session is catching up with friends over the December-January break, and they get asked what's going on in the economy and what's likely to happen in 2026. What are the three things they could tell?
So I think the first one is for the US economy, it remains resilient and probably accelerates through 2026. I think in Australia, the concerns about rate hikes from the RBA are probably overstated. And I think the third, from a portfolio perspective, is when you think about where equities are sitting, valuations aren't cheap, but they're not nose-bleedingly expensive. And our sentiment measures are pretty flat. So those combinations of an economy that's picking up, rates that are on hold, maybe moving down a little bit in the US, and sentiment looking pretty clean should be a good year for markets.
And my very last question, Alex, what's on your summer reading list?
What's on my summer reading list? I am currently reading a book about geography of innovation. So it's going through innovation of each country. And then this is a very boring one, but I have the biography of William F. Buckley to read over the holidays. How about you, Neil?
So yes, I've got 1929 on my reading list. But as you know, Alex, it's a bit of a doorstopper. It's around that thick. And unfortunately for me, I've got the hard cover rather than the paperback, which means it's even thicker. So it's about 3.5 kilos. Half my hand luggage.
So you get some weight training in as well as reading.
That's right. So thanks, Alex, and look forward to continuing these discussions in 2026. And thanks, everyone, for listening throughout the year.